Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Sunday, May 3rd, 2026, and this is episode 384. We are looking back at the biggest stories from yesterday, May 2nd. We have a really packed show today, Sarah.
We really do. We are going to talk about a highly controversial change in VS Code, the official end of Ask.com, and why on earth it takes Noctua so long to make a black computer fan.
Plus, we will cover the massive 5.0 release of NetHawk and VideoLand's new AV2 decoder, which led to a fascinating discussion about the insane amount of AI scraper traffic hitting the web right now.
Let us dive right into the drama. The top story yesterday, with over 900 points, was a pull request in the Microsoft VS Code repository. The pull request changes the default setting so that VS Code automatically inserts a co-authored by Copilot tag into your Git commits.
Yeah, and to be clear, it seems this is happening regardless of whether you actually used Copilot for that specific commit. The community reaction was swift and brutal. If you look at the GitHub page, there are nearly 400 thumbs down emojis and just a couple of thumbs up. People are absolutely furious.
The Hacker News comments were on fire about this. A user named R. Sinnott pointed out how this feels like part of a broader, frustrating trend where companies are just forcing AI into everything, totally disregarding standards and user experience. They mentioned how Microsoft spent literal decades rebuilding their developer reputation only to set fire to the whole thing as an offering to their robot gods.
That comment really resonated with the community.
Another user mentioned Google doing similar things, like remapping the standard Find Next shortcut in Google Docs on Mac to launch some LLM feature instead. It feels like a complete takeover by management who want to push AI metrics, overriding the engineers and designers who actually care about the user experience.
Exactly. A commenter named Storis called it the management utopia, where they finally get to execute their ideas without those pesky software engineers complaining about bad UX or broken standards. It is definitely frustrating for developers who just want their tools to be predictable. Git commit histories are sacred to a lot of us, and having a bot automatically inject itself as a co-author by default feels like crossing a line. You are basically polluting the version control history just to artificially inflate Copilot usage metrics.
Speaking of AI and search, our next story is a bit of a nostalgic one. Ask.com has officially closed its doors after 25 years.
Wow, Ask Jeeves. I remember using that in the late 90s. The irony is not lost on the Hacker News crowd that Ask Jeeves was basically the original natural language search engine. You literally typed a question to a cartoon butler. A commenter named Sixo pointed out what a massive missed opportunity it was for them not to pivot and name an LLM Jeeves. They could have finally lived up to their original vision.
That would have been brilliant. But instead, Ask.com kind of devolved over the years. The HN comments turned into a hilarious and slightly traumatic support group for people who spent their teenage years uninstalling the Ask Jeeves toolbar from their relatives' computers.
Oh my gosh, yes. User Bowden had a great comment about how they always thought Ask Jeeves was just straight up malware because of that Internet Explorer toolbar that came bundled with Java updates. They said they spent a fair amount of their youth cleaning up registry entries just to get rid of it.
It was a very different era of the Internet. Another commenter named Sanswork actually shared some fascinating behind-the-scenes details. They worked for a company that handled ad arbitrage for Ask.com about 15 years ago. Ask would buy cheap traffic on Google for low-cost keywords, send them to an Ask.com search page, and display Google ads through a partner network. But the UI was designed to trick people into clicking the ads.
That is so wild. It is a perfect example of the weird, scammy arbitrage economy of the 2000s web. Sanswork even talked about having to host their servers in specific data centers just to get the latency down to 50 milliseconds so they could merge the ad inventories in time. So, farewell to Ask.com. You annoyed us with your toolbars, but you are a massive piece of internet history.
Let us pivot to hardware. Noctua, the company famous for making incredibly quiet, high-quality computer fans that are traditionally a very ugly brown and beige, published a blog post explaining why it takes them so long to release black versions of their fans.
This was a masterclass in content marketing. The post got over 700 points on HN. Noctua explained that they use a special polymer called Sterix LCP for their high-end fans. To get maximum performance, they have a tip clearance of just 0.5 millimeters between the fan blade and the frame.
And this sparked a massive debate in the comments. A user named Burin77 called them out, saying that typical injection molding tolerances are way tighter than 0.5 millimeters. They pointed out that Lego bricks have tolerances down to the hundredths of a millimeter, so Noctua claiming this is the absolute limit of injection molding sounded like marketing fluff.
But then the experts chimed in, which is exactly why I love Hacker News. A user named 00Jim0, who actually designs injection molded parts, explained the difference. Lego uses ABS plastic, which is incredibly well understood. Noctua is using LCP, which is very niche. Plus, these fans are spinning at 2,000 RPM, generating massive gene forces and dealing with a 40-degree temperature range.
Right. As another user, Norwegian Dude, pointed out, the fan blades will literally stretch and expand under those forces and temperatures. So hitting that 0.5 millimeter clearance while the fan is running hot and fast is a totally different ballgame than a static plastic brick at room temperature. Noctua has to cut expensive steel molds, test them, fail, and start over. It can add months to the process.
It is just a great read. They give you all this deep engineering insight and then casually mention at the end that the new black fans are finally available for pre-order. Just brilliant marketing by showing the actual hard work behind the scenes.
Okay, from cutting-edge hardware back to ancient software. NetHack version 5.0.0 was just released.
This is huge. NetHack has been around since 1987. It is one of the foundational dungeon crawler roguelike games, and this is the first major Zero release in a very long time. The previous version, 3.6.7, was 3 years ago, and the sheer volume of changes here is staggering. Over 3,100 fixes and changes.
One of the biggest architectural shifts is that they have replaced the old Yak and Lex-based compilers with Lua. They actually embed a Lua interpreter right into the game now to handle level generation and quest text.
Which is funny because, as user SaltPW pointed out, NetHack actually predates the Lua programming language by about 6 years. It really is the end of an era for Yak and Lex in that codebase, but it makes the game much more portable and easier to cross-compile. They even made the whole codebase C99 compliant.
The best part of the comment section was a user named Foresto. They said they have a save file from 17 years ago where they finally got the amulet and saved the game right before making the dangerous run back to the surface. They were excited to finally finish it today, until they read the release notes, which explicitly state that old save files will not work with version 5.0.
Oh no, 17 years waiting to finish that run. Though another user quickly replied to them with a spoiler warning, saying, "Relax, it is probably the fake amulet anyway," which is just peak NetHack. The game is so notoriously unforgiving, but it is incredible to see a codebase maintained for almost 40 years still getting major architectural updates. There was even talk in the thread about Amiga ports and a 3D web client. The community is still so vibrant.
Our final story today is about Dave2D. This is a new project from Videolan, the team behind the VLC media player. It is a new AV2 decoder, and they are claiming it is the fastest one across all platforms.
AV2 is the next-generation video codec from the Alliance for Open Media, building on AV1. There was some good discussion in the comments about patent trolls like Sysvel trying to sue over AV1 and AV2, but honestly, the most interesting part of this thread was not even about the video codec itself.
Exactly. When people clicked the link to the Videolan Get repository, a lot of them hit a landing page that said, "Making sure you are not a bot." It was a protection system called Anubis, which uses a proof of work challenge, kind of like Hashcash, to verify you are a human before letting you see the code.
A user named Tensor complained about this, saying, "The internet has devolved into endless bot checks, cookie banners, and Cloudflare loading screens." But a Videolan infrastructure maintainer named Thresh actually replied in the thread and explained why they had to do it.
Yeah, Thresh explained that their GitLab instance was basically under a constant distributed denial of service attack from AI companies scraping their code. Because dynamic pages like GitLab repositories cannot be easily cached at the edge, every single request hits the database and uses up compute resources.
Thresh said the AI scraper traffic grew so much that it was literally 99% of the responses their servers were serving. 99%. It was making the service completely unusable for actual developers. They said they could throw more hardware at the problem, but it is not sustainable for a nonprofit project. So they had to implement this proof of work filter to block the parasitic traffic.
It is a stark reminder of the hidden costs of the AI boom.
these massive AI companies are just vacuuming up the open web, and volunteer-run open source projects like Videoland are the ones paying the server bills for it. It completely changes the social contract of web hosting. You used to want your site to be indexed, but now being indexed means being crushed by bot traffic.
It really does. It ties perfectly back to our first story about Microsoft forcing AI into VS Code. We are seeing the friction of this AI transition everywhere, from our code editors to our server bills. The internet is definitely going through some growing pains right now.
That is a great point and a perfect place to wrap up today's show.
Thank you all so much for listening to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the conversation, be sure to check out the links to these stories and their Hacker News threads.
We will be back tomorrow to bring you the latest and greatest from the top of the Orange site. Until then, happy hacking.